Welcome back to the Feeble Minded Podcast. Today I'm joined by John David Gloud, aka Obese to Beast.
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
What's going on?
Why did I say welcome?
Yeah, welcome.
I'm happy to be here. When you asked me to be on, I was like, really? Okay, cool. I'm down.
Oh yeah. Well, we've been internet friends for like, I don't know, a couple of years now. So
yeah.
Yeah, psyched to finally get to know you a little better. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. So
yeah, man. First thing is just like, just so everyone could get some context, like where did the name come from, Obese to Beast?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's kind of a long story. I won't tell my whole life story here, but growing up, I was really heavy. And so I got to be my heaviest when I was 20 years old. I was like basically 400 pounds.
Okay.
And I lost like 180 to a little bit more than that over the course of about a year and a half. And through that journey, this was like 2013, 14, I started the YouTube. Well, it was an Instagram first. So I started the Instagram Obese to Beast really just because I felt bad that I was posting so many pictures on my regular Instagram. So I was like, okay, this was before there was like any stories or video or anything, right? So I was like, okay, I've been posting like these pictures so much on my regular Instagram. Let me just make a different one. And that really wasn't like a thing people did, but I did that. And I came up with the name just because I thought it sounded cool.
Yeah.
And it's funny because people are like, bro, you're not a beast. And I'm like, that's not why I didn't make it, because
right,
I was claiming that I was. It was more aspirational. But now when I think about it, it's just like, because I'm 31 now and I made it when I was like 20, 21.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm like calling myself a beast. I don't know. But it was just a name that sounded good together at the time, like in my head.
Yeah. I think it's a perfect encapsulation of the journey.
And that's exactly kind of why I've kept it after all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm being honest, if I were to make something now, would I call it that? Probably not. But it does share exactly kind of like, it's pretty clear. Oh, Obese to Beast, this is a guy that's lost weight. And then
exactly.
it makes it very easy. So that's kind of a very condensed version of why I call myself that. So
it's funny because sometimes those things that we think are like corny or this or that, like sometimes those are the things people cling on to because it's very clear. You can understand it. It's just like right there, Obese to Beast. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Who knows if it would have caught on as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Thing, I know. 100%. Like I think it's one of those things that it kind of worked out. I think that people, they heard it and they're like, oh, okay. You know, and they knew exactly what I was about before I really even had to say anything. Right. So,
right. Well, I just want to give you props on that journey, man. Cause I'm sure that was not easy to start.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was like, for me, it was like a journey that it's hard to explain cause I was overweight basically my whole life up until I was 20, but I was up overweight that entire time. And it was like something I basically wanted to do for my whole life. Right.
Yeah.
And something that I tried so many times and failed at so many times that like, I just genuinely thought that I was like, I just thought it was impossible for me. Like I couldn't do it. And so now I'm glad that I was able to do it, but yeah, it's like the thing that I'm probably most proud of in my life is that I was able to do that, you know?
Yeah, man. I could imagine. So could we flash before like you started? What? So you said you were overweight your whole life, basically.
Yeah.
Like even like 10 years old, like where did it really begin? Like,
Good question. I guess my whole life is a little bit of a lie because I didn't come out the womb at like 30 pounds. but basically I think it started when I was like 6 or 7. So I had a hernia when I was really young in my groin and I had to get it removed. And I think from like that moment on is when I started gaining weight. Cause up until that point I was relatively normal weight. And so for me, I kind of started gaining weight there and it was like pretty normal. Like it wasn't like I was the biggest kid in school immediately. I was just kind of like obviously getting a little bit larger and my mom would always say like, oh, you'll just grow out of it. You know, you'll get taller and then you'll get thinner. That never happened. Well, at least not for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I also grew up I think a really important part of my journey is that I grew up very poor. So we were really, really low income and food for us was, it was a means to an end more than anything, right? It was like, how could my mom, because I basically lived with only my mom. My dad was in the picture a little bit, but their relationship was not the best. So basically single mother. And her goal was to just feed us, right? Like, that was the main thing. It wasn't really like, what's the most nutritious and stuff, right? And so it was a lot of Hamburger Helper, a lot of like ramen noodles, grilled cheese sandwiches, stuff like that, chicken and rice. So growing up, I also, we never like had meals together. My mom would like make food and then you just got it. And so that taught me to eat very fast, because the faster you ate, the more chance that you could get seconds, right? So I still eat really fast, but me so too. Yeah, I eat like most people. Like, it was funny. I was actually eating last night for my niece's birthday, and we all got our food, and I had like finished mine so fast that the waiter came by and he was like, and then someone else grabbed the food and took it from me. And they was like, did they bring your food out? I was like, oh no, I already finished it. But that's a sad story. But
hey, my girlfriend complains, 'cause like, she feels like pressured to like keep up with me 'cause I'm eating so fast. Yeah.
And people always say like, oh dude, you'd enjoy it more if you ate slow. I'm like, no, I enjoy eating fast. When I eat slow, I'm thinking, man, I would rather be taking another bite instead of like trying to force myself to slow down. It just doesn't work. Right. It just doesn't work for me. But so yeah, I started really gaining weight when I was in like elementary school, and it was actually really cool. I had this this is another side story. I have ADD, by the way. But I had this she was a school nurse that would bring me clothes. And the reason I tell the story is because like, she had to make sure they were like husky sizes. I don't know if that's still a thing for kids, but it was when I was a kid. They would have like husky version. And so she would always have to make sure that she brought me those. So I started gaining weight from there. And then it just like, it became the norm for me over time. Like every school year, if we went back to school shopping, it was a bigger shirt size, a bigger pant size. And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Until, you know, I was, you know, in elementary school, I was chubby. In middle school, I was like pretty big. And then in high school, I was like the biggest kid at the school. Like, I had a nickname in high school. Everyone called me Cupcake. Like, it was, my personality was, I was the big guy. And I was relatively lucky in the fact that I didn't get bullied too much. But the reason was because I would basically bully myself before other people could do it, right? So I would make fun of myself a lot. I was like the class clown.
Right.
And I remember when I graduated, I was the only person that they used their nickname. So like, when I graduated, they're like, John David Cupcake Glod. Like, and I just thought that was the coolest thing, right? So like, that was like my personality in high school. And, but you know, that's all fine and dandy, but obviously it was something I struggled with a ton. Like, it was like, if I remember I had a teacher that he wanted to help me lose weight. He didn't really know how to, but I remember he asked me, because I would always deflect when people would ask me about it. I would deflect and stuff. And he was asking me about it, and I was like deflecting and joking around. And he was like, seriously, he was like, if a genie came out of a bottle and gave you one wish, what would it be? And I was like, I'd wish to be thin, right? Like, it was just like literally all I wanted for so long. But I genuinely felt like I couldn't do it. Like, there was something wrong with my body. I would joke around that I was like born to be fat, or I don't have a metabolism. It's broken. It doesn't work, right? And I just felt like there was nothing that I could do to lose the weight. Like, 'cause I always felt like I was a relatively fit chubby guy. Like, so for me, I grew up skateboarding, and I was never very good at it, but I've always been good at riding a skateboard. Like, I'm very comfortable on a board. I'm just not good at doing tricks. But And so I remember, this is like a core memory of mine. When I was like almost like basically at my heaviest, when I was in high school, I used to skate to school every day. And the amount of times that I'd skate by cars and they'd be like, what the hell? Like, how is that? Like, I could just tell that like people would be like surprised, right? And I had friends that are like, man, it's kind of crazy that you can skate, blah, blah, blah. Falling was a whole ordeal, though. That was not very fun. One time I fell in the middle of an intersection, and I was so tired. I just like laid on the ground. But so like, I always had this thought of like, I am big, but it felt like I was trapped inside of a big version. Like, it felt like there was a version of myself that's the real me that was trapped inside basically like a fat suit, if you want to put it that way, right? Like, inside of this version of myself. And it was like this thing that I always wanted to get out of. I always wanted to just find out who I really was. And so I ended up graduating high school. And then about 2.5 years after I graduated was when I started losing weight. Cause I graduated when I was 17 and I started losing weight when I was 20. And how that all came about was I had been, there was this wedding that I was invited to. And it was in Utah. I live in San Diego and it was in Utah. So me and it was my best friend's brother's wedding. So we decided to drive up there. But before that, I had to find clothes for the wedding. And I wore a size 5XL shirt and a 56 inch waist, right? And so it was really hard to find stuff. I ended up going to Burlington Coat Factory, who actually has a good amount of like plus size stuff. But that was like a nightmare trying to find stuff. And then we ended up driving up. So it was about a 13, 14 hour drive to where they lived in Utah. And like, I remember when I went to get out of the car, I was like really lightheaded and I almost fell down into the car. And that really, really scared me because at this point in my life, I was convinced that my weight was going to kill me. Like it was just a matter of time. Like I would tell people like I wouldn't be surprised if I don't make it to 30 because of just how I just kept gaining weight, just kept getting bigger. It just felt like, and then like at this point it was genuinely like causing me hardship. Like things were getting much harder. Like it wasn't at the, my 600 pound life kind of thing, but it was like in my head, it was like, that's going to happen. It's just how long until I get there was basically how I felt.
Right. Cause you've been on a nonstop trajectory in that direction.
Yep. Like my whole life, basically is how it felt, you know?
Right. Right.
And so I had like this fear of like, I was 20 years old and I was afraid to be alone because I thought if I have a heart attack, no one will be here at 20. Literally now I look back and I was a child, but I was like, that's how I genuinely felt it, like literally. Right. And so when this happened, that like kind of like getting woozy, getting out of the car, it scared me so much. But I didn't like say that to anybody. I just kind of played it off. And I was like, oh, because people saw it and they're like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I think I just didn't drink enough water and like the elevation change. I'm sure I'll be fine. I just need like ibuprofen or something like that. And so they got me stuff. And luckily, it wasn't anything serious and I was okay. But like that really scared me. But then we come back from the wedding and a few weeks later, we see the photos. And I was like, wow. Because at the time, like I went and got those clothes and I was like, damn, I look fresh. Like I felt like I looked good. The funny thing is that even the shirt, the 5XL shirt, when I'd sit down, the buttons would pop open. So, but I saw the photos and I was like, oh, okay, that's not it. And then a few weeks go by from there. The reason I tell that story is because I think it really put me in a mental space to make the change. So the click, what I call it is the click moment. So the click moment, the moment that I decided to change, I was sitting on my bed watching Netflix. I was watching Miami Ink. For those that might not know, it's like a show where they just kind of go and people will get tattoos and they'll ask them, why are you getting this? And they'll kind of tell a story, right? And so this guy was getting a tattoo because he had lost weight and he was getting like a hamburger tattoo. And it was like to commemorate his weight loss or something like that. It's been a long time. I don't really remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But I remember they were asking him, like, what'd you do? How'd you do it? You know, all those questions. And he just kind of like talked about choices. Like he just had to make better choices. And I don't know if he said this or if this is what my mind said to myself. But I remember I basically heard that the choices that I made led me to where I am now. And so I just need to make different choices to be where I want to be, right? I don't know if he said that or if I heard that in my brain while this episode was going on, but that's what I heard. The funny story about that is I was eating Panda Express that night. So I had a double entree plate of orange chicken, fried rice, and had a large soda. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to finish this because I don't want to waste it, you know? And then tomorrow's the day. And I remember, though, I woke up the next day and I felt like this weight kind of lifted off my shoulders. I was like, I'm going to do it, right? And so I got a haircut because I was like, all right, we're changing. I got a haircut and then I went to Vons, which is just a grocery store around here. And I got water and sandwich stuff because I was like, I don't know what healthy food is, but this is probably better than what I'm eating. And that was the start. That's kind of how it all started. Really? So that was 11 years ago now. So it was 20. I'm 31 now. And since then, it's been, obviously, it's been a huge journey. Like, I started YouTube, all that stuff. We can get into that as well. But
yeah, we'll get into it, yeah.
That's kind of, that was the start. That's, like, how I started to actually lose the weight.
And so before it, you know, before you really pulled the trigger and, like, started, you know, down that path,
mm-hmm.
were other people in your life bringing it up ever? Mm-hmm. Like, where, like, you're at that wedding. Like, do people bring it up? Does no one say anything? Like, yeah. what's it like, you know?
That's a good question. I was very lucky in the fact that, like, my family was very, they were very nice. They, like, my mom, she felt a lot of guilt for my weight. She felt like it was, like, her fault. And she carried, like, a lot of shame because of it. And so she would try and bring it up. And I've been learning more about this recently. So I hope I don't sound too woo woo or whatever, but, I've been learning more about my ADD. So I was diagnosed when I was a child, like way, way long ago. Right. So this has been something I've been struggling with my whole life, but I've learned that apparently it's very common that people that struggle with ADD are also very sensitive. And that is true for me. And so whenever my mom would try and bring it up, I would just shut down and I'd be like, I wouldn't listen. It was a nightmare. Like I knew the thing. It was because, like, no one was telling me anything I didn't know. Right. Like, obviously I'm overweight. I know, obviously I shouldn't be eating XYZ, obviously, you know? And so eventually my mom, like, she would always be supportive if I said, hey, I want to try this. I want to try and lose weight. She was always supportive, but she wouldn't push it because it just didn't, she found out that it didn't work. And same thing with my friends. I think, like, they knew that I wanted to, but they also knew that them trying to tell me that you need to do this, you need to do that, it just wasn't going to work. And so they were, like, they were supportive, but they weren't overbearing in my life. And I was, like I said, I was really lucky that I didn't get made fun of too much. I mean, everyone gets made fun of, and I definitely did, but it wasn't like, I know I've talked to a lot of people that they just are just relentlessly bullied, right? And that didn't happen to me, but because I always was bullying myself, like, I made it to where friends of mine thought it was okay to bully me. Like, one story I've told before is I was at the mall with this group of people, and then one of them was a girl that I was like, hey, she's cute, you know? And we were walking through the mall, and we walked by this place called Torrid, which is a plus size woman's clothing store. And she, like, turned around in front of everybody. She was like, hey, John, if you're a woman, you'd shop there. And it just, like, she could tell that it hurt my feelings so bad. And she felt terrible because in her head, she's like, he does this all the time about himself. Like,
right.
She just thought it was like, she didn't even think that it would be a problem because I made it so normal. But then immediately she saw how much it hurt my feelings, right. And she tried to, like, whatever. Yeah. But, like, so that's, like, yes, I wasn't made fun of too much, but it was because I would constantly, like, that's where that nickname Cupcake came from, because someone tried to give it to me as, like, trying to be mean. And I was like, no, I like it. I'm going to roll with it. And yeah, so.
You beat him to the punch. Essentially, take away people's power when you don't give in or show a reaction or anything like that. You know, it's funny you mentioned the ADD thing, so, or ADHD. So I never paid any attention to that my whole life. But when I think back, I was diagnosed when I was like 8 years old, 10 years old, and my mom didn't want to put me on medicine. Makes sense. I dropped out of school, didn't fit in, always getting in trouble all the time. Alcoholic, kind of like I fixate on things. Yep. I'm either all in or all out, you know? So it's interesting. Like, I try not to identify with it, you know, and, like, lean into it and, like, you know, not make it a part of my character, but it's almost undeniable that there's something there, and you can use, like, the tools from knowing about it.
Yeah. I try not to, like, let it be an excuse for me being, like, bad at things or, like, but I've learned that learning about it helps me understand myself more, which, if that makes it so I'm not as hard on myself, then that for me is a good thing, because I am very hard on myself, right? And so, like, learning, the more I've learned about it, the more I've understood myself, which, again, I would never say, oh, I can't do that because I have ADD, or I can't, you know, like, I messed up because I have ADD. But it's just, like, in my head, I can understand, like, oh, that's why I'm so sensitive. Like, that's a normal thing, actually, or whatever, right? So,
yeah, which is good, because, I mean, you went through that journey of, like, taking ownership, you know, so you kind of know, like, I'm not going to lean into this thing and make an excuse because you know you've went through the journey from one side to the other. So mm-hmm. I feel like it makes it, you know, yeah. easier to not fall in that.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So when you first started, you know, losing the weight, was it you started and you locked in, or was it kind of a fluctuating thing? Did you fail a couple of times?
Yeah.
What was that like?
So, I mean, up until this point, I mean, I had failed so many times. Like, any diet you can think of, I tried. Like, one time, I don't know how my mom got SlimFast because, like I said, we did not have much money. And so I think maybe, like, work had an extra case. And so she brought it home, and I was a kid. So I was like, okay. I continued to eat the same stuff, but I also drank SlimFast. And I was like, yeah. Why am I not losing weight? When in reality, like, I'm drinking an extra 400 calories a day. Like, mm-hmm. But so I had tried so many times and, like, failed. I remember I had this family friend who he was a police officer. He was, like, really into fitness. He, like, really wanted to help me. And he would come to my house early in the morning. We'd go on a mile run. He went to Costco with me one time, and we bought a bunch of, like, healthy food. And I would try, like, so hard because I knew he wanted me to do it so bad. But, like, the moment that I knew he wouldn't find out about me eating this thing or eating that thing, I was just like over it, right? And so that's a reason why I always tell other people that have family members, friends, loved ones that are really struggling with their weight, that they want to help, that at the end of the day, no matter how good your intentions are, no matter how much you want to help someone, if they're not ready to do it, like, it's just not going to happen. It just isn't. And I wish that there was a better answer, but I haven't been able to find it. Maybe someone else will, but I haven't been able to find that. But so this time when I started losing weight, I was literally as ignorant to diet, exercise, all of it as you can be. Like, literally had no idea. So that's why I started with what I call the common sense diet. So I was like, okay, I know that I shouldn't be drinking soda because I was drinking like a 2-liter soda a day. I know that I probably shouldn't be eating, you know, going to 7-Eleven, getting chips and candy all the time. And I know I probably shouldn't be eating fast food all the time. And also I live in San Diego, so Mexican food is really popular here. And I would get that a lot because it's so mm-hmm. good. It's so good here. But I would get that like almost, you know, frequently, like a few times a week. And like, those portions are very big, right?
Yeah. Greasy and
dude, fried. Yeah.
Chips themselves are, you don't realize, like, you're just eating fried yep. like tortillas, like yep. a bag of tortillas. It's like, dude, so many calories. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started with what I call the common sense diet. So that was like cutting that stuff out, which for me was actually cutting out a good amount of my diet. But it was like, for me, it started off really good because it was simple and I was able to follow these rules relatively easily, for me at least. And like, yes, it was difficult. Obviously, like, I missed the foods that I was eating, but I was so like, I became so hyper fixated on seeing results that the moment that I started to actually see results, I like this flip switched in my head that like this belief that I could actually do it was there. And for so long, I like genuinely, like we talked about already, I did not think I could. I thought it was impossible. Like, I thought there was something wrong with me that made it to where I could not lose weight. So the moment that I realized that basically I have been wrong my whole life and that if I stick to it, I will see results, I was like, I was sold, right? And so yeah, like,
you saw
an
opportunity. You were like, it's possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is. Right. It is possible. And it started off really good. Now, things definitely got to be not good. And this is stuff that I talk about quite a bit, is that a lot of people that want to lose weight, we get so excited at the start that we will try and do things that are just unsustainable. It's one of my favorite words. Sustainability is one of my favorite words, because we will do stuff that like, I'm never going to have this again, or I'm never going to eat. Like, and that was me, right? I was like, I'm never going to have soda or never carbonated drinks. I drink mm-hmm. diet soda all the time now, right? But like, I was like, oh, it's never going to happen. And eventually I became like, I started to see food as the enemy. And so the thing that started off good is like cutting out, you know, soda and junk food was like anything that I considered to be unhealthy, I was like cutting out. So like, that was like, basically I was eating like a bro, like chicken and rice and broccoli and oatmeal with plain nothing else, just oatmeal. And it became to be really like, I personally think it was like really unhealthy because I cut so much out and I became genuinely terrified of food. And then I,
Sorry to interject. Would you eat like big portions when you were eating healthy, like to overcompensate for that? Or were
I was under eating significantly. So like at this time I was working two jobs and I was eating between 700 to 1,000 calories a day. And I was, one of my jobs was at Vaughn's, was I was in the meat department. You had to lift these huge frozen boxes of meat, right? That were like 50 plus pounds. And I would be lightheaded every day. And I'll be like, in my head, I'm like, I don't understand why I'm lightheaded. I look back, it's because I was not eating enough. But it was like, at that moment, I thought that I was doing the right thing. And like, I had this, I think, bad mindset of, if I can do it for a day, I can do it for tons of days. When in reality, I could do it for a few days. But this is when I ended up developing what's called binge eating disorder, where I would be really strict for 3 or 4 days. And then go crazy for like a day or a night. And then the cycle would continue. And like I would eat literally, like one night I ate an entire box of Chex cereal with no milk, just dry. Because I was just, it's like my body needed food and I could not stop myself. Like binge eating is weird. Everyone struggles with it in different ways. And everyone's like how they get there is different. But for me, that was the overcutting calories, under eating, and it really, like, at that time I was genuinely afraid that I'm gonna gain all the weight back, because I was like, there's this way that I'm eating is so unhealthy. I felt terrible about myself, because like you would go in this binge eating, like this cycle, you'd go from, oh, I'm feeling so good about myself, I'm barely eating and this is what I'm supposed to do, so then you binge and you feel like garbage, you feel like a piece of trash, like. And then you just, that would be the cycle. And I was like, there's just no way that I can stick to this, you know?
How many pounds were you down at that point?
That's like when,
that you didn't want to gain back, you know?
Yeah, I had lost the most of my weight. So probably like 180 pounds, 170.
Oh, really?
So
you already had.
Yeah, like I had lost. Yeah. And like, I think the reason that I struggled so much was because I didn't know what I wanted to do, because my whole like fitness journey up until that point was weight loss. Lose weight, lose weight, lose weight. So once I lost the weight, I didn't know what to do. Like, how do I maintain this? Do I put on muscle? I had literally no idea. No idea, right? And so luckily at this time, I considered joining the military. I didn't, but I was considering it. And so there was like, oh, you have to be able to run a mile at a certain time. You have to be able to do push-ups, yada, yada, yada. And so that's when I was like, okay, I need to start going to the gym. And then so once I started going to the gym, I found a friend of mine that actually, he still makes YouTube videos, but he was making videos at the time and he knew a lot more about macros and all of that stuff, you know, carbs, fats, proteins, just nutrition in general, where he kind of started teaching me about it. And then I started finding more people on YouTube at the time. This was, you know, quite a while ago, 2013, that were making content about this stuff. And I started learning more about it. And that really helped me a lot. And then also because I was lifting more, I was just eating more. And so that kind of helped as well. And then eventually, actually in 2016, I did a men's physique show. So that's when you like, you know, diet down and you get on stage in board shorts and like naked or whatever with the spray tan. And so for that, I tracked my macros like meticulously for like a year and a half, getting ready up to that show. And the day of the show, I was like, all right, I don't want to track anymore, because I was like so over it. And that was actually really scary for me, because I was like, I had gotten so used to tracking my food that I thought if I stop tracking, it's going to be like this huge disaster and I'm going to gain like all my weight back. But at the same time, I didn't like tracking, being like having to think about everything. It was just too much. So I needed to stop. And luckily I was able to stop without having any sort of, it's called a rebound. And I was able to, from all of these lessons that I learned over time, I was able to get to a point where I am now, which, you know, since 2016, I haven't really tracked. And I do what I call is mindful eating. So everything that I learned from those years of tracking and going through all that stuff that I went through has taught me to eat in a way that is mindful, that I don't have to track, but I obviously all of those lessons I learned are still in my head. So those inform the decisions that I make now. So.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I have the same problem with diet. I think it has to do with the ADHD thing too. It's like you get very all in or nothing. And then when you fail, you kind of like go off the deep end to catch up.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You go all in failing. So it's interesting though, that you were able to kind of lock in on a, I guess you call it a program that doesn't really have a structure. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like kind of what we cling to as ADHD, yeah. You know?
Yeah, 100%. Like, it was so scary at the start, man. Like, but I think really the thing that helped me was the knowledge that I genuinely felt like I knew what I was doing. And for a long time, I didn't feel that way. But like at this point, I like genuinely was like, oh no, I believe that I know what I'm doing. And the things that I had done in the past, the experiences that I had and the successes that I had, that proved to myself that I knew what I was doing. And I just had to trust the process. And also, like, when it comes to weight loss and like maintenance and all this stuff, one, I think something that a lot of people struggle with is you have to be brutally honest with yourself, right? So I was like, if I was eating in a way that probably wasn't the best, the only person that's going to say that is me, right? The only person that's going to tell me is me. So I just had to be honest. Like, and so I was just honest. Like, is that the best choice? Yes or no? Is it okay if you have that? Okay, then it's fine. You know, it's not the end of the world. But should I be having a cheesecake every night? Probably not, right? Like, you know, yeah. So I became very good at just being honest with myself and like basically like checking in on myself every day, right? And then eventually I didn't have to be as strict and I was able to be a little bit more lax and enjoy life a little bit more. And as the years have gone on, I've been able to, you know, it's been 8 years since I did that show, I think, basically. So, yeah.
So, wow. All right. So when you were first starting going down this journey, were you documenting it on like Instagram mm-hmm. or wherever? Like, or was that something that happened after once you started seeing the success and you're like, hey, I should...
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, well, at the start, I didn't tell anybody because I had tried to lose weight so many times that mm-hmm. it became like embarrassing to like have someone. I remember there was this one time where I lived in this neighborhood that we kind of all knew each other, and I was walking back from 7-Eleven one day with like a bag of chips and soda, and my friend walks up to me. He's like, "Oh, hey!" He's like, "I thought you were trying to lose weight," and I'm like holding this thing, and in my head, I'm like, clearly not anymore. All right. Leave me alone, yeah. You know? And so I had that experience too much to where I didn't really tell anybody. And I think, cause at the time I was living with my mom still. So I think I told her because, you know, whatever, right. But for the most part, I didn't really tell anybody. And then I think eventually once I started seeing progress, it just became natural because this was when this is when Instagram was starting to become really popular. And so I was just naturally like, it's funny. If I scroll down on my original Instagram, the first, like most of the pictures are not of myself at all. Cause I didn't like to take mm-hmm. pictures of myself. I barely ever looked in a mirror. Right. But then it's funny because then once I started losing weight, there's more pictures of myself. Right. Yeah. And so through that, people started asking me questions and then in real life. And it was really interesting to me because like, I started getting all these people asking me for advice and how to lose weight and all this stuff. And I was like, literally a few months ago, I would have been the last person you would have asked because I was 400 pounds, you know, but people yeah. started to see the results. And then they were like, you know, they were just proud of me and they started, you know, saying congratulations. And then that's when I when I decided to make the Obese to Beast Instagram was when I was like, mm-hmm. okay, I'll document this. But that was after I had lost like a good, like most of the weight. And so I wish I could go back and start documenting earlier because there's so much stuff that I just isn't there. And like, it would be cool. Like I see, this is a tangent, but I see like, you know, with TikTok being as big as it is and like reels and stuff, like everyone has like videos of themselves at all these points in their journey. And I just don't have that. Like video wasn't really a thing until after I had really lost the weight. And so yeah. I have like a few photos and it's like, I just have to reuse them. I've had people like, bro, yeah. you don't have any more photos. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Go back in time? Like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Like yeah. I have like seven because obviously I didn't want to have my picture taken. So I would avoid it at all costs, you know? So
how much of like growing it and getting that feedback on Instagram, like how much did that kind of help keep the momentum?
Yeah.
You know, cause I feel like when I was doing my like Skate Across America and things, having that like support and people there, it kind of almost like you're like, yeah, I'm not gonna stop, dude. Like, I can't stop, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. Oh man, I remember every day checking YouTube for those videos. But I think like obviously I had lost the weight kind of on my own before I was posting it, but as far as like, and I think this is more important, keeping the weight off, it's become it's hard for me to even separate it because it's been tied since I started, right? Since I started keeping the weight off, right?
Right.
Like I've always had, I don't want to say like an audience, but like, you know, when I first started, I had a few people following me, and then I had like a viral video that, and that's when like a lot of people started following me, but that wasn't long into my maintenance. And so it just has always been connected. And so I think it would be remiss for me to say, oh no, I would be dedicated regardless of like, no, I think that of course the community and the people that support me also help me stay on track, because it's not even that I'm like, oh, I have to do it for them, but it's just, I don't know. It just like, it just happens that way. Like, yeah. I guess want to do it for them, but it's more just like, the amount of people that will message me every day and say like, hey, you helped me do this, you helped me do that. It just is always in my head to where it's hard to even separate them.
Yeah. It's like, you're not doing it for them. It's like, it creates like a perfect synergy where the more you better yourself, the more people are getting better also. Mm-hmm. Right? Like just keep feeding each other. Yep. Kinda, you know? So you said you had a viral moment.
Mm-hmm.
So was that like, did you make a compilation or like a before and after thing? And that's kind
of
like,
so it was this video that it's called, the title of it is My Biggest Insecurity, Loose Skin. And so I recorded a video with my friend Brian. And so when I started my YouTube channel, so I had already been making YouTube videos for a few months at this point. And a few of the videos I wanted to make were like full day of eatings, just kind of sharing what I was eating, because that was a question I would get a lot on Instagram. And again, mm-hmm. videos weren't a thing on Instagram yet. So it was just easier to make a YouTube video about what I'm eating in a day. And then like a transformation video. Those at the time were really popular, just kind of putting pictures together, yada, yada, yada. And then the mm-hmm. other one was a video about my loose skin. And so when you are significantly overweight and you lose weight, you're going to have loose skin. It just is what it is, right? And up until that point, I had posted a few pictures on Instagram, but I just didn't feel like it really did justice and like showed what it really was like. And like, because at this time, it wasn't something that a lot of people talked about. It was like when you'd see a lot of people lose weight, like say like on Extreme Makeover or like The Biggest Loser, they would kind of skip over the loose skin and they would like come and the after would be like they've already had the loose skin surgery and it's like gone, you know? Right. And the vast majority of people that lose a lot of weight probably are not going to get the surgery. It's very expensive. It's just not going to be for everybody. So I just wanted to make it to really more as like education, like educational, just share what it was right. like.
You guys are leaving out the glamorous part. Let me yeah. show like really yeah. what this process is like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I just wanted to share that. And it just went viral. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, because the landscape of the internet is so different now than it was in 2014, I think is when it happened. You know, it's been almost 10 years. But when it went viral to where it was like everywhere. It got posted like, I remember like Ashton Kutcher shared it, and then it, like that was like this like pushed it. And I remember me and my friends were joking around. We'd be like, dude, just wait for the Ellen call. They're going to call you. Cause at the time Ellen, you know, she's maybe had a little bit of a fall from grace, but at the time she was like number one. Like whenever there was a viral video, they ended up going on Ellen. And I was just mm-hmm. like, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. And we ended up getting the call from Ellen, and I went on Ellen. And like, so this video, like I remember I posted it, and then I woke up the next morning and like the video had like 30,000 views, and that was way more than any other video I had ever made at that point. And it just kept going and going and going. And I remember I was working at 24 Hour Fitness at the front desk, and I used to have like the notifications from on my phone, like, oh, someone subscribed to your YouTube channel. And my phone died because it just was like overheating. It was just constant. And I was just like, what is happening? Right. And so, yeah, that really just kind of changed my life. And that's kind of changed the trajectory of where my life has gone since then. But
yeah,
that's the viral video. It's just me kind of sharing the loose skin. And I don't know, it's weird because, you know, everything has changed so much that like, I would say if someone watched it now, they'd be like, what was so special about this? But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't have an answer for why people connected yeah. with it, but they just did, you know?
Of course. I mean, I think it's obvious why people connected with it. If you can be brutally honest yeah. on the internet, like people are going to relate to yeah. it. You know what I mean? So on Ellen, what was that like going there from, you know, you went through this whole journey, obviously like years ago, you probably didn't have much confidence, right? So now you're going in front of a giant, like the biggest yeah. show there is. Like, what was that like for you walking in there?
Dude, you know? It was so strange. So the way that they do it is they had producers reach out to me. So they sent me an email and they said, don't tell anybody that this is not saying that you're going to be on the show. We would just like to have an interview with you. So immediately, obviously, told my friends. and so I had an interview with them. And then we had like multiple interviews. And then again, every time they'd say, you're not coming on the show. We're just interviewing you, you know. And then it was my birthday in 2014, I think, was when they finally said, okay, you're going to come on the show. And I was just like, oh, it was the coolest thing ever. So I live in San Diego. The show's in LA. They actually had a car come down and pick us up and take us up there. So I was able to bring one person. So I brought my friend that helped me make the video, Brian. And so we both, like, they drove us up there. And when we got there, we went into the, you know, behind the scenes, and I had my own like room. It was very nice. And there was like this, like this like gift basket that I'm assuming most people are like, oh, that's nice, but I don't need it. I took everything. I was like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of snacks. I was like, I'm taking it all. Like, and then I met with the producers again, the people I had been talking with, and basically the way that they did it then, I don't know if talk shows do it like this still, but they told me what to say in my answers because they had already ran through what the interview would be like on stage. And it sounds like maybe they were telling me what I should say, but it was all words that I had already used in our interviews. Basically, the way that they explained it was like, it's just to make you less nervous. Like, you know what is going to be asked and you already kind of know like what to say. Obviously, it's not like it was like there was a teleprompter that I was reading, but it was like, remember you said this, this would be a good answer. Because they said, which I do think was a good way to explain it. Like, if you take 5 minutes to answer a question, that's it. Like, then you're done. That's your entire, right? And then one thing that they made sure, they were like, also, you're not a comedian, so don't try and make a joke. Just don't. They were like, it's, people have tried it and it's always awkward. And I was like, all right, fair enough. I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had that kind of pre-interview, and then, dude, it was crazy. I was so nervous. Like, we did like makeup. It's funny, I watched the video back and it looks like I have like lipstick on for some reason. Like, my lips were so red, and like they like put like this makeup on me, and so I look back on it, I'm like, it's so funny. But I walked out there, and again, like, yeah, we just kind of went through the questions, and it was crazy because that day One Direction was there too. And so, like, there were, like, all these, like, One Direction fans, right? Which was bizarre. But they ended up – so we did our, like, segment, talked to her, whatever. And then she was like, oh, we're going to – like, I have some gifts for you, but we need to do it after One Direction comes on. So just go up into the audience. So then I walk up to the audience. One Direction comes on. They do the thing. And then there's, like, this whole overflow room of, like, One Direction stands. They're, like, screaming. And so they ended up going – up through the studio to talk to them, but they all like stopped at me and like shook my hand and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. Nice guys, I guess. But, and then, so they brought me back on stage, and then she was like, oh, we saw that you're vlogging in your car, and so we got you a GoPro, right? And I was like, oh, thank you. And then they're like, oh, and also that car that you have is very old, so here's a new car, right? And so they gave me a Mustang. I still have it. And that was like, that was such a blessing because it was like, it was like where it was just it's for the longest time, like where I lived, it was like my car did not fit at all, like but it was truly such a cool experience. Like, there's been a lot of stuff that's come out recently about how people were treated. I personally, like, the way I explain it is like what people saw on TV and the videos of how much I talked to Ellen, that was it. Like, I spoke to her on stage and then that was literally it. So I didn't have a bad experience. All the producers were pretty nice to me, and I got a car. So like, and it really, like, again, like, kind of changed the trajectory of my life, because I was a YouTuber, and like all these other people that, you know, called themselves YouTubers that were in the fitness space, they saw that. And then, so I was able to make connections with them, and everything kind of changed from there.
Yeah. And so did that, like, is that when you really decided, like, I'm going to full-time YouTube now and do this? Mm-hmm. Like, I have an audience. Like, was there pressure going into that?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was no, like, real pressure for me because the way I thought, I had nothing to lose. Because at this point, I probably had, like, I don't know, 3,000 subscribers. Yeah. Like, it wasn't my job. And even it wasn't even like right after that that I decided to like, you know, kind of quit my jobs. I was still working two jobs at the time. But it wasn't long after that. I remember not long after that, I left. I ended up leaving. So at the time I was working at Starbucks and 24 Hour Fitness. I left 24 Hour Fitness first and I did not give a 2-week notice because I was like, oh, dude, I did that job was not for me, dude. Like front desk and yeah. It was not very fun. So I told them, I was like, I was at work.
I got a Mustang. I'm out.
Dude, literally, not exactly, but I was at work yeah. one night and I went up to my boss and said, hey, tonight's my last day. And she was like, what? Mm. And I was like, yeah, I'm done. It was this, the way that it was just the way it was ran was not the best. There was like a new boss. It was just miserable. So I left there, but then I stayed at Starbucks for quite a while, actually. Cause I actually liked working there. But then I ended up like going on a trip to one of like the fitness expos and being around people that YouTube was what they were doing. It just like inspired me to be like, you know what? I'm going to take the leap. And that was 2014. So I've been doing it full time for almost 10 years now.
Which is insane. You got in like pretty close to the bottom there. What 2012 was like really when it started? Like,
yeah.
2010.
Yeah. Know. Like I think YouTube technically started in 2005, but no one like considered themselves like a YouTuber until like yeah. they were making money off of it. I think until like 2007 was when it started, but that was like okay. a tiny amount of people were in the partner program. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I would say like around 2010 was when it became like a thing. So it wasn't long after.
Yeah, which it's funny because I'm thinking about like the climate of social media now, and it was probably much different, much more laid back. Like no one even knew what was really going on, you know? Just like it's posting so videos, weird. Like
it's so different now. Like we both sound old as hell, but like it's just so different now. And I feel very lucky that I've been able to stick around and you know, been you always kind of have to pivot and move and do things differently, but it's been fun, you know, and I do feel very lucky that I've been able to make it my, I guess, career, you know, so.
Yeah. Was it tough dealing with, you know, that the virality of it all, like maybe comments coming in, or were you kind of hardened at this point because you had kind of seen it all going through what you went through, you know what I mean?
So I was really lucky that the majority of the comments and like the attention was pretty positive. Because you know, the story that I was telling was just me losing weight.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of hard to talk bad about that yeah, story.
There yeah. still was, but I would say yeah. like, it definitely like, it was a big culture shock for me because up until that point, like before I became a YouTuber, I guess, like I had like my plan for the future was, I don't know, work at Walmart and work up from there. And like, I don't know, like however I can get to a higher position in Walmart, you know, or something like that. Right. And like, mm-hmm. no hate to Walmart. My mom worked there for many years, you know, I'm not no hate, but like, it was like entry level job and then just work my way up because I went to college for a year and majored in music and dropped out. Like I had, you know, I didn't have any connections. My family didn't have any money. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so for me, it was a huge, huge culture shock. And then like the fact that people wanted to hear what I had to say was very strange for me as well, because I just had never really had that. And so, yeah, it was pretty difficult. Like there was definitely, so when the things first went viral, I was in my first like relationship, and that definitely played into that relationship not working out. Me and the girl that I was with, we actually recently had a conversation. She like called me to talk about everything because it was really difficult for me. And that put a pretty big strain in our relationship, which I think played a role in it ending, which we're both in better places now. So it worked out. But, you know, in yeah. the moment, it was certainly played a role in that relationship not working out. And so
you're pretty young too, yeah, you know, so yeah. that plays a part for sure. Yeah, of course. You know?
Yeah, it yeah. was like my first relationship too. And so it's not like it's that surprising, but it was just like a whirlwind. That's the best way I could explain it
I literally can't even imagine. Was that like a 2-year span or how long was that from?
So
when you were like,
when, you know. From like when I started losing the weight to the video going viral was probably, yeah, about 2 years. And like so much of my, yeah, it's just crazy. Like so much of my life changed and it was like all, it wasn't planned, you know? Like when I first started posting, when I first started sharing, I wasn't like, I'm going to be an Instagrammer or a YouTuber or an influencer. Those words didn't really exist, you know? It was like, yeah, I'm just going to share this because people have asked. And yeah, and then like when things started to go viral, like it was like this 2-week period of like, I didn't know what day it was. You know, it was just, everything was happening. There was always an email. There was always, it was crazy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Whirlwind is a good way to put it. Yeah. So you mentioned on the show, they featured the video of you talking about the loose skin. Mm-hmm. So was there a reason you stuck with that? Like chose to not get the surgery?
Yeah, that's a good question. So they actually even asked me on the show, like, do you want to get the surgery? And for me, I've always said, like, now I've had it for like 10 years, right? And I still have the loose skin, it's still on my body. I've always been like, it doesn't affect me to a point where I feel like it's necessary. Like it's not like I can't live a normal life with this skin, which everyone's different. And like, there are certain people that maybe even lost way less weight than me that their loose skin does cause them those issues, right? So where they can't, they feel like they can't live a normal life. And so I'm always like, if you want to get it, I have no issues with anyone deciding to do whatever they want, really. But like for me, the reason I've decided against it still is that, I mean, one, it is very expensive. And there was a time when everything first started going viral where I had a few people that were like, we'll do it for free if you promote it, blah, blah, blah. But I still was like, I don't know. It was weird. Like, I think at that time I was young and I almost felt like guilty for that because it's very expensive. Like, I think if I were to want to get all of, like, say the loose skin that I have, it would be like over 30 grand, like easily, right? If not more, especially if you want it done really well. And so I almost felt like guilty accepting that. But also, I didn't really, I mean, the thought of going under the knife wasn't something that I wanted to do. Like, it's a very serious surgery. But also, like, I just saw it as, I've said, like, battle scar or whatever, but, like, I didn't see it as this terrible thing. And I've always said that, who knows, in the future, maybe in 10 years from now, I'll be like, you know what, I think I want to get it. But, like, where I'm at now and where I was at then, it just wasn't a priority. Because there is, like, you do have to take a good amount of time off. But, I mean, as the years have gone by, the surgeries have gotten better and people recover quicker. And so, who knows? Like, I'm not saying that I'm completely against it. But, like, as far as now, just, like, the money thing is a big one because I don't have people offering that anymore. I would have to pay for it, right? And so that's just obviously a barrier now. And so people would say you missed your chance. And if that's how you feel, that's fair. Fair enough to say it that way. Yeah. But, yeah, the money and then just the recovery process would be pretty significant. And then there are dangers of going under the knife that, for me, it's just, like, if it's not necessary to where I feel like mentally it's messing me up or physically, because like some people have like genuine pain from it, I just don't have enough of a reason to do it.
I think it's honestly commendable that to like embrace that was a part of my life. This is a part, you know what I mean? Like I went through this and I accept it and I'm not like, I don't have to change it. I understand if it's more of a physical thing, like you were saying, like if it hurts, like, do you feel any restrictions or pain, like doing certain things?
Not restrictions or pain, but I definitely feel like, say if, cause I go on runs pretty often, I make sure that I wear compression. So like I wear compression, like tights or like shorts and then a compression shirt, but that's pretty much it. Like, so if I'm doing anything like that, then I'll wear compression, but like even, it has to be like very specific because like when I skate, I don't really wear it and like I'm jumping and stuff, but it doesn't bother me enough. So it just, for me, the amount that it bothers me isn't worth, you know, going through it. So.
And do other people in the community like voice their opinion on that? Is that like a popular topic? You know, or is that?
It's interesting because I have a lot of like genuinely a good amount of friends that have had the surgery. I would say most friends that I've made through Instagram that have also lost a good amount of weight have gotten the surgery because it's hard to deal with. Like it's because you're talking about when we're talking about this loose skin surgery, most of the time you're talking about someone that their entire life, not maybe not everyone their entire life, but a majority of their life, a good amount of their life, they have basically despised their body, right? Because of the size that it is. They felt embarrassed about it. They haven't been proud of it. And then they go through this work for a year plus to lose the weight, and it's really freaking hard. It may be the hardest thing they've ever done. Most people it is. And then you get to the end and you're left with this skin. And then they feel disgusting all over again, right? And so I understand completely wanting to get rid of it. And that's what, I don't want to say most people, but at least most people that have a significant following, because a lot of times you end up getting it compensated. Like, you only have to pay half or whatever, right? It's free. Like, a lot of times if you become an influencer in the space, you get offered ways to get rid of it that maybe most people wouldn't. So I don't want to say most people, but most people that have a following, which I happen to be friends with, right? They have gotten the surgery because it's obviously like not something, I don't know. It's like tough for people, I think, because when you're overweight, it's like you see someone in clothes, you're like, oh yeah, they're overweight. But if you have loose skin and it's not super obvious, like say if I took my shirt off, people be like, what the hell? Like, I was not expecting that, right?
Yeah, you never guess it, right?
And that's scary. Like, the thought of feeling like you're hiding this, like, in a lot of people's mind, this grotesque secret is really, it really messes with people's minds. So that's why I understand why people get the surgery. But also, I hope that people that maybe can't afford the surgery, like, they just can't make that decision, I hope that they've been able to see the content I made and think less of themselves as a grotesque monster and just as a human that went through an experience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, living by the example for people to be able to see. Yeah, that's awesome, man. So I've seen on your YouTube channel, you kind of point out some issues, or you make topics of like other people going through things. Mm-hmm. And that's got to be really hard, knowing like you're kind of going to get some stuff back either from them or from viewers. But I think it's awesome to, like, you know, do that hard work, essentially, like, you know what I mean?
So,
and you're doing it from a caring place, so it's cool to see.
Yeah, that's been a huge change in my YouTube channel. Like, for the longest time, it was mainly like vlogs and just like similar to the stuff that you made, right? When you were doing, obviously I wasn't doing anything as cool as you did, but like, you know, just kind of sharing day in the lives and just random stuff. But like, for me, I basically realized I do the same thing every day, so there's not much to share there. And two, as far as like me talking about how to lose weight, or I've said it all and it doesn't change, right? Like, how to lose weight is the same that it was when I started versus how it is now. You know, there might be like nuances, different things that have come out that I can talk about, which I will, but I can't make a whole channel about it. At least I couldn't. And so I was like, how can I pivot this to where I can still make YouTube videos? And that was basically through commentary, right? And so I'll see something that either I agree with or I disagree with, and then I'll kind of make a video on that. It was definitely like when I first started, and still to this day, like if I know that a good amount of my audience is not going to necessarily fully agree with what I'm going to say, it is scary. Because especially, man, when I started, people used to be like, John, just get to the point. Stop trying to like, I'd be like, well, like, I understand this, and like, I don't want to offend it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just say how you feel, and then that's it, right? And so it was definitely scary when I first started, but I've learned that as long as I am being honest about how I feel, and I'm not like trying to lie about how I'm feeling or trying to hide certain things, like, people are pretty open to what I'm saying, and I do my best to be compassionate, even if I disagree with someone. Because it is very easy, like, if you disagree with someone, to just make fun of them. And, like, people, I hate to say it, but people like that. Like, if you're, like, mean and you're, like, this idiot, like, people like that. But I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. And so I just can't do it. And so I try my best. Like, even if I fully disagree and, like, I'm, like, this person in my head, I'm thinking this person is off their rocker, I still don't try and be, like, attack them for anything other than what they're saying. Like, I'm not, like, this fat piece of crap. Like, I can't, like... No, you know, it's like, what are they saying? Why do I disagree with it? And that's, I try my best. I am human, and so I'm sure I've made mistakes, but for the most part, that's what I try and do.
It's tough, man, navigating those waters on YouTube. It's tough, and I think that's been one of my favorite parts of the whole journey, is like learning those things about myself, like learning to voice my opinions clearly and be careful what I say. And like, you know, it's definitely, it's tough to do sustainable content for a long time because, like you said, it gets repetitive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
and yeah, I mean, dude, it's got to be so interesting for you. Like, you've been in the skate scene for literally like your whole life, right? And so, like, to have so many people start to like trust everything you say, and like everything you say is like, you know, for some people, it's like, this is definitely true. It has to be so different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just try to put my head down and like pick whatever it is that I believe to be like the next best move. Mm-hmm. Like just, and I just do that and put my head down and I try not to think about mm-hmm. it, you know, and just trust that if I do something like in my eyes good, it'll be good. Whether that's slow, sometimes the things I do, they don't like yield results because they're not like headline. Well, I guess Skate Across America was headline grabbing, yeah. but like normally they're not like clickbaity. Yeah. type things, which, yeah, they're fine lines you have to walk mm-hmm. yeah. on YouTube. So yeah. it's fun exploring them.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Like, man, I know you've probably talked about the whole Skate Across America thing, but dude, that was the cool, like when I'm sure everyone that's watched it has said this to you, but like when I watched the final episode of you, like everyone being there, bro, I was literally tearing up in my room. It was like, I was like telling my girl, he made it all the way across. She's like, that's great. Like, but I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I wish I was there. Oh, dude, it was it was so cool.
I was tearing up, dude. And like skating up dude. And like filming the vlog. I was like overwhelmed because I swear, you could even ask my girlfriend. I was like, there's going to be like 10 people there. Like, I don't even know if you should come down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it was like 200 or something. Dude. I don't know how many people there. And every like news, I'm just like, couldn't believe it.
It was so, yeah.
I appreciate that.
So sick, man. So sick.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like that's part of that whole ADHD journey is like, I'd love to lock in on something mm-hmm. and find my next new project. And until I do, I almost have no motivation to do it. Dude. I need that excitement. You know what I mean?
Dude, it's like, it's how I've been my whole life. Like, I'll go through what, like, it's technically called hyperfixations, but I'll have like a thing that I'm like, this is all I can think about. And then, like, you could ask me in 3 months, oh, are you still doing that thing? I'm like, oh, I haven't done that in forever. Like, I literally just don't care anymore, you know? And it is frustrating because I hate that there are so many things that I've maybe started and got okay at and then was like, okay, I'm done, you know? But
yeah.
I've just learned to be like, that's just how I am. And maybe eventually I'll pick that thing up again and, you know, go through it again. But I'm not going to, like, you know, force myself or anything like that.
Yeah. As I've gotten older, I've learned to kind of steer myself a little better. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I need to be motivated. Maybe I shouldn't commit to something if I'm not like, it's going to lead me down this long-term yeah. path or, you know, but it's tough. What are your thoughts on like taking medicine for it? Have you done that or are you like,
yeah. So when it comes to, that's become very popular recently, right? So the GLP-1s, which is like Ozempic, those are like the most popular ones, Wegovy. It's been interesting. Like, you're talking about ADD. Sorry, I was talking about weight loss. So I was talking about the weight loss.
We can go into that too, though.
But yeah, that's a whole thing right now. But as far as like medication for that, I took Ritalin when I was really young, and it like turned me into a zombie. And my mom didn't really like it, and so I haven't really taken stuff since then. But I'm not really against it. Like, I've been doing more research on it actually really recently. I've been reading a book about it. It's called Scattered Minds. I've been listening to it. I can't read. It takes too long. So I've been listening to audio on Audible. And I don't know. Like, I'm not against medication. I've been living with it for so long without it that I do have like a fear, I guess, of like altering my mind and like, but I guess like, you know, you test it out, see how you like it. And if you don't like it, you just stop. Right. So, but as far as like now, I don't have any like plans to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. Like, people have mentioned it and I kind of like, even if things are difficult in life, I like figuring those things out and like adapting and learning it and integrating it into my character rather than incorporating this external thing that I'm now dependent on. But everyone's in a different situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it could free up your mind in a different way.
Yeah. So, and it affects everyone so differently, man. And so I'm like, I'm of the mind that you do what's best for you. And you know, that's why I do think it's important. That's why I get upset, I guess, when people share information that I feel is not accurate, because then it makes it so you can't do what's best for you, because you're making decisions based off false pretenses, maybe. And so that's mm-hmm. why a lot of the content that I make is like, no, this is not true. Like, you know, like this yeah. is why. And so that's kind of how I feel. And that kind of ties into what I accidentally started talking about, was like the weight loss medications. Because those have become really, really popular. I'm sure you've probably heard about them, but like Ozempic, the GLP-1 medications, it's basically like the closest we've ever gotten to like the magic pill. You know, it's not okay. a pill, it's injections, but like it's yeah. And so it's difficult, because I am supportive of people using it that genuinely have tried so many other things, and like this is something that's helping them like change their life. But the issue that has come up recently is that people are using it that maybe don't really need it, right? They need to lose 10 pounds, 20 pounds. And it's a little bit of, you could say, abuse of using them, especially because right. a lot of them are, they were started as medications for people that have type 1 diabetes. And a lot of these medications are now becoming short, like it's hard to find them for people that have diabetes, because so many people are using them for weight loss. And so I'm not against people using the medications, but I think that, you know, we should be smart about how many people are using them, I guess is the best way to put it.
Right. Like a certain weight goal limit or something. Yeah. It's kind of hard to do those arbitrary, exactly. like
it is
lines
tough.
Though. 'Cause everyone, yeah,
it is tough. And that's why it's always hard with stuff like that. Like, should there really be, you only have to lose 20 pounds? No, you're not allowed to, because who knows, right. maybe that exactly. 20 pounds for someone could be like a really life huge changing. Deal, right? Especially if you're really short or whatever, right? And so it's yeah. tough. It's tough. Like, but I do think that like there's a trend. I don't know how many states it's in, but there are certain states where you could just go to like a med spa and just get a syringe of it, you know? Mm. And that's like, I'm like, yeah. I don't know about that.
What does it do exactly? Like, how do you feel? Like, what's it?
It basically helps with, I'm not a scientist, but it helps with like the hunger cues, and like basically helps with a lot of people that have found success. They talk about it helps with like it helps their mind stop constantly thinking about food. And so it basically helps with your appetite. And so to where you're just not as hungry. And that's kind of how it works. Again, there's a lot more that kind of like nuance yeah. in it, but that's kind of like how it helps people. And so there are side effects, and like some people have explained like some of the side effects that have been more scary are like thoughts of like doom and like depression and stuff. And so it's like with anything, you know, you have to weigh the pros and cons and decide what you want to do. But I'm of the mind, for the most part, like if you are someone that needs to lose weight and you've tried a lot of things, I think trying anything within reason that's going to help you extend your life and then help with the quality of your life, I think that you should go for it. So whether that's, you know, using these medications or getting some sort of surgery, I'm not against them. I used to be more like, I lost the weight naturally and that's the best way to do it. Now I'm like, I realize that everyone is in a different place in their life, and they might need more help, or they might just need different intervention. And so I'm not going to sit here and judge anybody. But I do think that with all of those things, we should be as smart as a society as possible, so it's helping as many people without harming as many people as possible. That's kind of where I sit with it.
Yeah. And did you ever take any types of things like that on your journey, or everything was all natural and you basically, what, you did the oatmeal and
yeah. Yes.
What was your diet? So, the oatmeal and chicken diet?
Basically, yeah. I actually almost got what's called the lap band. When I was in 10th grade, my mom took me to this at UCSD. It was like they were going to do a study of adolescents that were obese. And so they were going to pay for it all, because obviously we couldn't afford it. And so I almost did that. Like, I went to the initial thing. It was like this, it was in a lecture hall. So there was like not hundreds, but there was like, you know, 50 people with their parents, because it was all kids. And they kind of explained what they were going to do. And then we went to the follow-up where I spoke to the doctors, and they're like, so how do you feel about this? Like, how sure are you about this? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm like 80% sure. And they were like, that's awesome. Because they said like everyone else was like, I'm in. Like, this is it. This is going to solve everything. And they're like, so the fact that you're not completely sure about it, they felt like that was a good thing. But right, I was,
you actually are thinking, yeah, about
but
it,
that 20% ended up taking it, yeah, over. And I decided, I was like, no, I don't want to. The main, if I'm being honest, they said you couldn't drink soda. Yeah. And I was like, nah, bro, that's not, there's just no way.
Oh, I got a question for you. When you were doing your, you know, like you were cutting out soda was one of the first things you did, which like anyone trying to lose weight, that'll like cut some pounds pretty quickly. It's like pretty easy. Just focus on that. But would you drink Diet Coke or anything like that?
Eventually, like now I do, but it took, it basically took a while. Like I basically had to like trick myself into it. So for a long time, I didn't drink anything carbonated because every time I would, because I had tried to lose weight so many times before this, that like anytime I would like start with something, it would just revert back to regular soda. Or I would like literally forget that I wasn't drinking soda. And I'd be like, I'd go to Carl's Jr. and I'd get food, but I'd get water, right? But then I'd just like instinctively get soda and I'd be drinking it and realize, oh crap, I'm not supposed to be drinking this, right? So I was like, okay, if I just say nothing, right? And so that's what I did for a while. And then eventually I kind of started cheating it where I would go to Vons or like Walmart. They have like their own brand of like, it's like flavored carbonated water. It's basically diet soda, but it's like clear. And so I would start, I would start drinking those. And then eventually it just was like, well, might as well just have diet soda. And so now I still don't drink like regular soda because for me, it's like one of those things that, yes, I know I could have some liquid calories, but it's like, I would rather, if I could avoid liquid calories, I would rather avoid them because like, why would, I'd rather eat my calories, you know, for the most part, you know, I still put creamer in my coffee. So I, technically that's a liquid calorie, but for the most part, I'm not like, I'm going to get juice and just drink 500 calories of juice just because, you know.
It's a good, it's an easy rule to abide by. Just like, I'm not going to open this door and potentially be like slugging back like 1,000-2,000 calorie double gulps, like, dude, you know what I mean? It's just easy to just be like, nope.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, I think back about, people ask me, like, are you ever afraid of going back to the size that you were? And I can say, like, definitively that that will never happen. And I know that, that's, like, scary to say because it's almost like people hear that sometimes and they almost want to see you fail because they're like, oh, you never, okay. But, like, the reason I say that is because of everything I've learned over the years. And so I think I would have to actively try to gain the weight to get back to 400 pounds because it would go against everything that I've been doing for the past 11 years. And so I don't think, like, do I think that there's a chance that I could maybe hurt myself and not be able to move and gain some weight back, like 20 pounds or something? Yeah, certainly that's possible because I do like to move around quite a bit and I like to work out and stuff. And so if that was taken away from me, it would definitely be difficult. But I don't think I'll ever get back to that size. But again, who knows? I mean, I guess you never know for sure. But
They say not to say that, and like especially in the alcohol things, you know, my situation. But I feel the same exact way. Like where my life has gone since quitting, I've built so much momentum. Like I would never go back to that life. Mm-hmm. It's just so concrete in my head that like there's nothing there for me. Like, I'm just not, you know?
Yep, so that's exactly
how I feel. I feel just confident like you saying it. Well, dude, I appreciate you sitting down, sharing your story, and sharing it just on the internet in general for everyone to learn from.
No, thank you. I mean, likewise. And I appreciate you asking me, man. I really do feel honored to be here. So thank you so much.
Hell yeah. All right, cool, man.
Sweet.
All right, well, good talking to you.